But please be praying for us in the work there of the gospel. We have a boys and girls brigade, similar to your sort of seekers, too. And we have 20 in the infants and junior age group, and then another sort of 20 who are secondary school age, which has been quite encouraging this last year or so. That number's, you know, you only had about 3 or 4 before. Now there's sort of 20 going on 25 some weeks with these teenagers coming along, which is lovely. A lovely opportunity to have there. They have fun playing games and things, and normally me give a little devotion for them too. So thank you, and please be praying for that again. Another strange thing, Ashbourne, of course, has its Shrovetide football coming up in a couple of weeks' time, and we write a little tract each year, and we go out in this rather unruly mob game and just give out leaflets. And I try and think of some sort of tenuous way to relate the football game to the gospel. And so we try and write a track that sort of, they're apparently collector's items among some people. You know, John Gilmore, a chap at our church, gets them all nicely printed for us, and people keep these postcards. They have a nice photograph on the front of the game, and on the back is a tract. And so, well, we hope that they might bear some fruit, these seeds we sow at a strange time, it has to be said, there at the Ashbourne football match. But who knows how God might use them for his glory. So thank you for praying for the work there. There's a couple of things that are happening with us at Ashbourne Baptist Church. Well, turn back, if you would, to Proverbs 23. That's where we'll be some of the time, at least. But as I said, the book of Proverbs is quite assorted. And so we're going to pick up a theme and look elsewhere as well in the book of Proverbs to try and collect together some Proverbs on this theme of self-control, really. And it's particularly there in that chapter, you might have noticed some of the topics that we'll come to. The need to grow in self-control, one of those fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Mentioned in the New Testament too, those fruit of the Spirit. And no surprise that you'll find the same sort of characteristics mentioned elsewhere in the Bible, especially in quite a practical book like Proverbs. And so it is. We need to grow in those things. Those of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus, we've been made a new creation, and we're being helped by the Holy Spirit to bear that fruit. And one of the ones perhaps we need reminded of sometimes is the need for self-control. I'm giving it the title, if you want one. This evening, watch your ways. Watch your ways. We need to be careful, don't we, in our actions and how we live. And it tells us a bit here in Proverbs 23, but I say we're going to jump around a little bit, so stay in the book of Proverbs, but turn to chapter 25, for example, and verse 28. It's one that helps perhaps us get our heads around what he's talking about. 25, verse 28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. In the olden days, of course, in the land of Israel, as with many towns and cities in our own country, there used to be city walls. You can go and see bits of them in York and places like that, can't you? And they were there for protection, weren't they? To protect them from bandits and foreign armies and the like. Well, we're a bit like that. We need our defences. And without self-control, without any restraint, without any control over ourselves, we're like a city with no walls. We're vulnerable. We have no defence. People often like to talk these days about being open-minded. In the book of Proverbs, that's not a positive thing. You use that same sort of idea about being, that's just being completely daft. If you're open to anything, you're vulnerable to everything. You've got to be thinking. You've got to be careful. You have to defend yourself. You have to protect your heart, protect your life. You need self-control. You need to rule your own spirit. Control yourself, we would say. There are those temptations, aren't there, that come our way. There are those natural appetites and desires, maybe good things, but they easily get out of control, don't they? And we're going to think about a couple of areas where that may be, lots of them mentioned in chapter 23, and they may be different for different ones of us. You may hear some of these proverbs and think, that's a good proverb, but it's not something I particularly struggle with. Whereas other things may be, you do. And it's always a good idea to remember them all the same, because you might not struggle with it today, but who knows what you might struggle with in the future. as we change and so on, as different things come our way. Proverbs 21 and verse 5. 21 verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. There's the need to be thoughtful, to be careful in our ways, to watch our ways. Hastiness, of course, is the opposite. Being too quick and so on about things, not thinking. Not thinking about the consequences. A lot of Proverbs are about the consequences of our actions. Not thinking about the outcome of things. Not thinking about God and what he would say about things. We need that self-control, don't we? Here's a couple of areas where we need it to control. First of all, your temper. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. There he tells us to be careful about other people who are prone to angry outbursts, somebody who doesn't have a control over their temper. And he wants us to be careful here in those verses because you might learn it, something that's easily learnt. And it can be difficult being around others, mixing as we have to do in our homes, in our streets, in workplaces, and so on with other people. We can quickly pick up bad habits, can't we? Well, he says a little bit more about this topic of temper in Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, verse 16. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. There again, tells us of that need. A fool rages. A fool is impulsive, out of control. They get all over the top in a rage, easily losing control. A wise man fears. Thoughtful, careful, as we were saying before, fears God, the fear of the Lord. As we're told many times in the book of Proverbs, is the beginning of wisdom. The wise man fears the Lord, knows that it's up to God what he thinks. And he wants to depart from evil. He wants to avoid that anger, which so easily leads us into sin, doesn't it? He wants to depart from that. We need to be those who control our temper. Another aspect, we need to control our appetites for food and drink. That was there in chapter 23. Head back to 23 and verse 1 and 2. When you sit down with a ruler, consider carefully what's before you. Put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. Well, food is good. Food is necessary, isn't it? We need sustenance to keep our bodies going. And we, most of us, enjoy food. Enjoy different food. We may have our favourite things. We like to eat. And food is something we enjoy. It makes us feel good, doesn't it? There may be certain things, whether it's the caffeine from a cup of coffee, whether it's the sweetness of a piece of chocolate. I just say, you know, there's endorphins and things that come through our body. There is a sort of chemical reaction to some of the things we eat. And that's great. God's given us things to enjoy. But we have to be careful, don't we? Those things can easily control us, rather than us controlling them. What may start out as an enjoyable thing can become something quite compulsive sometimes, even in eating and things like that. It carries on with the same theme in verse 19. Verse 20, perhaps more. Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. There's a temptation, isn't there? Perhaps in a prosperous country like our own, to overeating. And it just tells us there's big problems with numbers of people who are having unhealthy eating habits with diabetes and the rest, and obesity and things like that. It's very easy to eat things that aren't sensible, or in quantities that aren't sensible. Sometimes that we can almost feel that we're almost under an influence of something. We can't stop ourselves eating one chocolate and then a few more after that and so on. We need control, don't we? He brings up the same idea about alcohol. And again, that may be something good that can be enjoyed. Jesus himself made wine at that wedding in Cana in Galilee. But again, it's something that changes the way we feel, isn't it? It may make us feel relaxed or something like that. And again, that isn't necessarily something wrong, but very easily it changes the way we think. And one perhaps can easily lead to another and so on. And he has this quite strange poem, doesn't he, at the end of chapter 23. Had you read that one recently? Did you know that in the Bible there was this poem about drunkenness? Well, it's there because it's something that's needed, isn't it? Our culture has a big problem with addictions to alcohol and the like. And here it is, written perhaps 3,000 years ago, about the effects of alcohol. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Because they were drunk and they fell down the stairs or walked into a brick wall. Or who has redness of the eyes? Somebody who looks hungover. Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. He talks in the end of verse 34 and 35. One who lies down in the midst of the sea, perhaps thinking of somebody who's stumbling along because they've had far too many. Can't even hold themselves up straight. They may be black and blue with the injuries they perhaps have done to themselves. And yet are compelled by this addiction. When shall I awake that I may have another drink? What a sad poem. And yet it's there for our warning, isn't it? It's there that so easy it can become an addiction. So easily it can become something so compulsive that we find it hard to stop. It tells us in verse 31, do not look on the wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls round smoothly. That's what they do at wine tasting, I think. Not that I've been. And you know, they swirl it round and there is something quite attractive, isn't there? There's something quite nice about it, but it warns us. It bites like a serpent, stings like a viper. We need to control, don't we, our appetites for food and drink. A third area we need to control is our appetite for sex. It's got it a little bit here, not very much in this chapter, verse 26. My son, give me your heart, let your eyes observe my ways, for a harlot is a deep pit, and a seductress is a narrow well. She lies in wait for a victim and increases the unfaithful among men. Again, marriage is something created by God. He made the male and female. God was the one who invented sex. He made it to be enjoyed. But it needs to be something that's under control. And God asks us to restrict that to marriage. He warns here, my son, father warning his son, as it often is in the book of Proverbs, about the dangers of immorality, about the dangers of a lack of self-control in that area. And don't we need to have that reminding of it? Fourth area, control over violence and aggression. Again, another thing that our society has a big problem with. Perhaps again, we could say there's a time and a place for such things. Perhaps chapter 16, verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. The one who takes a city and the mighty, of course, are soldiers, aren't they? They're heroes. There can be a time for aggressive action. We ask our soldiers, don't we, to do violent things. Sometimes it's necessary, isn't it? Sometimes we ask the police to do that. There may be an attack, a terrorist or something like that, and the police gets in that radio signal, you're going to have to take out that person. You have to kill them to stop that attack happening. Sometimes members of the public have to do it. In the London Bridge attacks, there were members of the public who had to wrestle an attacker down to the ground. There might be a time for self-defence, to have those aggressive, violent actions that may be necessary. But most of the time, they're not. That's the exception rather than the rule. We need to be those who are slow to anger, who rule our spirit. there's a natural desire, isn't there, sometimes? I don't know if you can ever remember when you're a child getting into a fight with a brother or sister on the school playground or something like that. And there is something, isn't there? A perverse pleasure in wanting to hurt somebody, isn't there? And your blood rages and you want to thump someone. There can be that natural desire. Often they're in children and that needs disciplining, doesn't it? There's a bit on discipline in that chapter we read. But it seems adults aren't over the problem, are they? Have you noticed the number of signs there are around? You go to the post office, you go to Sainsbury's, wherever it might be. Notice the little signs. They're all around. Look out for one on the wall. We do not tolerate violence or aggression towards our staff. Something like that. Notice them in shops and things. Why is such a reminder necessary? You would have thought that was fairly obvious, wouldn't you? That you're not meant to go into the Sainsbury's and be aggressive and violent. But apparently we adults do need reminding that that is not allowed in Sainsbury's and a few other places too. We adults seem to have a big problem ourselves with road rage and the like, with our anger. And the Proverbs are here to remind us of that area that we need to develop self-control. Proverbs 21, verse 7. The violence of the wicked will destroy them because they refuse to do justice. We need to be those who are in control of our temper, of our violence and aggression too. Well, perhaps you may struggle in some of those different things. Perhaps there's all different things we need to learn from those Proverbs there as we watch our way. We also need to watch our work. Watch our work. Again, that's something that needs to be under control, isn't it? And there's quite a bit in the Proverbs about that. Work, again, is something given to us by God, something good he gave Adam to do in the Garden of Eden. And we have different sorts of work. Some of us might be in paid employment, some work in the house, some work in caring for others, children, elderly relatives, perhaps some involved in voluntary work and the like. Work is something given to us by God. But there is a particular temptation, isn't there, to laziness. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went to the field of a lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. There it was, overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered in nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. We're warned in the book of Proverbs about the temptation of laziness. Proverbs has a lot to say about it. You can look at it another time. Those Proverbs about the sluggard. What a great name that was given to him. The one who wastes his time, just rests more and more, procrastinates, never gets on with the job he needs to do. And it ends in disaster for him. And yet again, it appears our society has a big problem with it. They say there is record numbers of hours that are wasted at work. As people arrive there and sit in their chair with the work open in front of them and then think, oh, well, I'll just check my phone. I'll just check my messages. I'll just flick to that website and go to the shopping basket or whatever it was on it. And wasting time. Huge amounts of time are wasted, we're told, in our workplaces that cost the economy billions of pounds. It's a lack of self-control, isn't it? Some of those things can be quite addictive, having to compulsively check our phone and see what's going on all the time and things like that. Being unable to sit down and get on with the work that's there before us. The temptation of laziness, how we need that self-control in our work life. Well, there can also be the temptation the opposite way. Back in chapter 23 and verse 4 and 5. 23 verse 4 and 5. Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding cease, will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. There's a temptation the opposite way. To overwork instead. driven perhaps with a desire for money. It says here in verse 4, do not overwork to be rich. Perhaps other people overwork for a desire of a promotion. Perhaps it's the power. Perhaps it's the bettering yourself, going up the career ladder. Perhaps some people overwork with a desire for perfection, to complete that project perfectly, to get it all absolutely sorted, and being unable to cope with anything less. Perhaps a desire for a success, for the praise of others when something goes well in our workplace. Maybe a constant desire for training and education, to get yet more qualifications, letters after our name, the prestige that might go along with it. Do not overwork, he tells us. That's a temptation too. Maybe it's one for money, to want to spend more or save more or hoard more for houses or cars or holidays or food or whatever it might be. Those things too can become an addiction, something where we need self-control to watch our work, to be able to set a control ourselves and realise when we need to stop being lazy and get on with some work, and perhaps other of us realise when actually the time has come to say that's enough, I need to stop there and finish. There can be temptations too in our workplaces and in our lives around that sort of area. What about Proverbs 11 verse 1? Proverbs 11 verse 1. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Which, of course, is the old-fashioned market, isn't it? Of their day and age, where you go in to buy your kilogram of flour or whatever it was, and there were the scales, and somebody put the kilogram weight on one side and then measure out into the basket. On the other side, the flour or whatever it was you were buying. And yet it's not a kilogram weight. It's been hollowed out underneath. Doesn't weigh anywhere near that much. It's a scam. It's a dishonest. It's fraudulent, isn't it? Well, those things were the case in the ancient world. But aren't they just done the same today? I mean, perhaps with our modern world, we just have modern ways to be dishonest. To do something that's a little bit fraudulent, a little bit underhand. Somebody's paying for something and we don't quite deliver exactly what was promised and the like. Cutting corners on things and the like. There is temptation, isn't there, to dishonesty. And yet we're warned here so strongly in that proverb, isn't it? Dishonest scales are what? An abomination to the Lord. That's strong language, isn't it? God hates that. Dishonesty. But a just weight is his delight. That may help you in your work this week. And there may be situations where you feel like your back's to the wall. It may be in a company where sometimes people don't do things very honestly. But a just weight is God's delight. You doing something honestly in your workplace is God's delight. He knows the way we're behaving. It can be the same in all sorts of different places, can't it? In schools and so on, they say there's lots of problems in higher education with plagiarism. And cheating in exams and things like that. The need to be honest. And what we've done. There can be temptations, can't there, to bribery. Similar sort of idea. And again, there's Proverbs about that. 15 verse 27, for example. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. Again, the need for to be ethical in the way we conduct our business, our workplaces and things like that, our finances, where we buy things. Are we concerned about that? In Proverbs 14, verse 31, it tells us this, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honours him has mercy on the needy. We need to be careful, don't we? And there are some Christian organisations who are helping us as Christians to be thoughtful about where we buy things, where our products come from, because it may be unwittingly that we support sometimes modern day slavery, people working in appalling conditions, being paid next to nothing and so on. Well, here in this verse, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. God. Serious, isn't it? But he honours him who has mercy on the needy. That's what we need to be, isn't it? Those who are ethical in our work lives and in our spending and things like that. That's what we need to be. We need self-control in those things, as we've been thinking. Last topic then. We think about watch your ways, watch your work, and lastly then, watch your wallet. It links to that last one, you see. The topics of work and money, of course, are very much interlinked. We need self-control, don't we, in the area of our money. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 4. Proverbs 11, verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. It's a very obvious proverb, you might say, isn't it? Common sense. Riches don't profit on the day of wrath or day of death, as in the line beneath. Money won't save you. The age-old sort of proverb, when somebody rich passes away and everyone's going to be start squabbling about what happens next, and they say, well, how much did he leave? The answer's always the same, everything. Money won't save you. Riches don't profit at all on the day of wrath. A question God is not going to ask anyone on the day of judgment is, how much did you earn? How much was in the bank? It has no relevance at all. You may ask questions about how you got it and so on, but he's not interested in the amount. Riches don't profit at all in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Those of us who've been made righteous, those of us who've been forgiven, those of us who are clothed in Jesus' righteousness, well, we need to try and live rightly, don't we? And in one area where we particularly need to think that through, in a prosperous time like ours, is in our money. What about Proverbs 15, verse 16? 15, verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. That'd be a great verse, wouldn't it, to have imprinted on your wallet, wouldn't it? Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. We need to learn to be content, don't we? Paul says that in his letter, I've learnt to be content. Well, perhaps we need to try to learn. I don't know if any of us could say, I've learnt to be content. Well, we need to try, don't we? To be content with what we have. There's the American dream, isn't there? Which is the same as the English dream. That constant desire for more. To progress up the career ladder and the like, to earn more money. We live in a capitalist economy, which is driven by greed, driven by an insatiable appetite for more. And we live in it, we breathe it in the air, as it were. It affects everything about us, more than we notice. We need to learn to be content, don't we, with what we have. He warns us about our spending on luxuries, perhaps. Chapter 21. Verse 17, he who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. So easy, isn't it, to spend? You don't even have to have the coins nowadays, do you? You just go into a shop and swipe, and it's yours. You might not even notice the numbers of the amount it totted up to on the checkout. You just swipe instinctively, don't you? On the internet, with just a few clicks of a button, you can buy all those things you never knew you needed, and yet you suddenly did, and had to buy them. We need to be in control, don't we? The one who loves pleasure, spending and spending, wine and oil, they were the luxuries of their day. He won't be rich. He'll be a poor man in the end. We need to be in control. There's big sort of problems again in our society of overspending. People getting themselves into massive amounts of debt and the like. We need to watch our wallets. And then to the opposite sort of thought, need to be generous. look at Proverbs 11 and verse 24. Just a couple of Proverbs to finish off. Nearly there. Proverbs 11 verse 24. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. A generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also himself be watered. People will curse him who withhold grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. There's a need to be generous, isn't there? There's the need to scatter, to give to people without asking for anything, as Jesus himself would say. To give, and yet somehow they still increase, they still have enough. There's one who withholds more than is right. There can be a certain wisdom in withholding a little, having a little bit in savings and things like that. That could be wise. But he's withholding more than is right. He's hoarding. Hoarding all this to himself. It's my money. I'm keeping it for myself. But we're warned it will lead to poverty. People will curse him who withholds grain. There's somebody in need and this person never helps. Oh, he's cursed by people. But the generous soul will be made rich. Are we those who are generous? Generous towards those in need. Generous towards the poor. Are we content with what we have? Willing to give to others in need? And lastly, are we generous towards God? Proverbs 3 and verse 9. 3 verse 9. Honour the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. We'd be generous, don't we, towards God? Generous in giving to him. He talks about the first fruits and the like. Those were the offerings that were bought when the harvest came in. They were brought to God in the temple or the tabernacle in Old Testament times. Honour the Lord of your possessions. When the money comes into your account, when the salary is paid or whatever it might be, are we those who are honouring the Lord, generous with what we've received, giving to the Lord's work? And the like. Watch your wallet. Don't we need self-control? Here in these Proverbs, picking up various sorts of themes of that as we've jumped around a little bit in the book to think about this theme of self-control over our ways, controlling our appetites. We want to be followers of the Lord Jesus, don't we? We don't want to be pulled this way and that by every temptation, by every appetite within us. We're a new creation, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And shouldn't that show in our lives? And yet these things are a struggle, aren't they? Perhaps one or more, a couple of those topics might have been something that made you think this evening. Perhaps we struggle in one of those areas, or maybe more. Who knows? And perhaps it comes and goes as we change and as we grow older and the like, perhaps. Some temptations seem to go away and other ones come along that we least expected. We need to watch our ways, don't we? Our appetite for food and drink and sex, the dangers of our temper and anger and aggression and things like that. We want to watch our ways. We need to watch our work, paid or otherwise. Whether we're tempted to laziness or overwork, the need to be honest, the need to be ethical in how we conduct our business and the like. And we need to watch our wallet, that love of money, that love of spending, that need to be generous. I said it was an unusual passage in the book of Proverbs, wasn't it? But they're there for us, aren't they? They're there to give us God's wisdom on these practical areas of our everyday lives, situations we're going to face this week in our workplaces, in our homes, in the shops and the like. Isn't our prayer that God would help us to grow in self-control, to grow in Christ-likeness as we follow the Lord Jesus? Let's sing our last hymn, number 784. 784, Take My Life and Let It Be. Well, it tells us in verse 2, take my hands at work this week. Let them move at the impulse of thy love. Verse 4, take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. That's something we need to sing carefully, isn't it? As we ask for God's wisdom over our money and the like. As we want to be those who are ever only all for thee. Let's stand and sing prayerfully. Number 784.